Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. From tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's fully be that. We wouldn't believe it. Smith pushing him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
What's up,
Rudy?
Welcome aboard.
Let's get it started.
Let's get it started. Xander, what's up, my brother?
Not much, bub. You know, got another great week of sports. You know, a lot of stuff going on in the college football world. A lot of shakeup in the rankings. We got another great week in the NFL. I think we started off the show with a little news today. You know, I was a little surprised. Ray Lewis came out and basically questioned Joe Flacco's passion for the game. And bub, this really kind of surprised me, coming from a guy who, you know, basically on his last leg, you know, was led to the Super Bowl by Joe Flacco, who was a Super Bowl MVP. And I don't know if you heard anything about it, but I'm completely against Ray Lewis here. I mean, I think he's got no business calling out a guy who basically cemented his career with a second Super Bowl ring. I mean, I thought it was kind of out of left field. And, you know, he said, is he gifted? Yes. Is he passionate? You know, he says, I've never seen that. You know, I didn't get it. I thought it was way out of left field. There was really no reason for it, especially for a guy, you know, who really, you know, put the cherry on top of Ray Lewis's career.
Well, I was never a big Ray Lewis fan anyways. I mean, the guy got away with murder. So, you know, he's a passionate guy. He's a whack job. He had his little dance that he did before the game. And, you know, defensive guys are typically a little bit more of that nature anyways. And, you know, God bless him. You know, listen, you know what? Flacco's a nice player. He works hard. He plays hard. And, you know, is he as good as the elite? No, he's not. But does he give it his all? I think he does. And I think he's a good addition to any team, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, say what you want about Joe Flacco. I know, you know, these past few years, the Ravens and Joe Flacco really haven't lived up to expectations. I just thought, you know, coming from a guy who basically won the Super Bowl for you. I mean, the guy threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in that Super Bowl that they won. And, Ray Lewis had 4 tackles, you know, basically went out. I mean, he was the best middle linebacker in the game for, you know, a decade and a half. But, yeah, you know, I just thought this is kind of a shot that didn't need to be taken. And, you know, I'm a big fan of both guys. I mean, I love watching Ray Lewis play. I mean, one of the most passionate guys about the game of football and just life in general that I've ever seen. And, you know, Joe Flacco just kind of approaches his business in a different manner. Just thought it was kind of unnecessary. And especially considering what Flacco did for him, it was kind of weird. And Bart Scott came out and, you know, and basically called Ray Lewis crazy for calling him out. But you know what? We'll move on. But we had, you know, MLB awards came out. I was pretty much, you know, in agreement with all the awards. Chris Bryant, you know, had a great season and took 29 out of 30 first place votes in the NL MVP race. I mean, Daniel Murphy and Corey Seager had great seasons, but I mean, Chris Bryant, I think, was a clear MVP here. You know, came off a great Rookie of the Year campaign and followed it up with an MVP season. You know, what'd you think about KB's season?
I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, in the beginning of the year, Richie and I were arguing of who we would want to take, and he goes, Rizzo or Bryant? I said, well, they're pretty close. And as it turns out, Bryant hit more home runs. Rizzo had more RBIs. But I think what the unique thing about Bryant was he played every position just about. So, I mean, you got to give a guy, you know, that's not so easy to do. I mean, it seems easy, and in a little league, it's easy, but when you get up to higher levels, not so easy. You know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, AL MVP, I thought could have gone, you know, a few ways, but I'm really glad that Mike Trout won the MVP. I mean, I think, you know, the guy kind of gets knocked, I think, for being such, you know, a wonderful player. I mean, he's been basically the best player in the game ever since he stepped foot on the field. And I think, you know, Miguel Cabrera doesn't come out and win the first Triple Crown in 40 years and, you know, has another MVP season. And Josh Donaldson, you know, had a great year last year. I mean, I you could make an argument that Trout could have five MVPs under his belt right now. And, you know, I thought Mookie Betts, this is a pretty close race. Mookie Betts had an unbelievable season statistically. But, you know, when we look at WAR, wins above replacement, which I think is an overarching stat for how valuable a player is to his team, Mike Trout took the cake. He had a 10.6 WAR. Mookie Betts had a 9.6. And there was no other player that was above a 7.7.
Hell with Mike Trout. No, I dropped in the draft, so I could take him. I mean, sometimes you're just too good, and the expectations are even better. I mean, this guy, listen, a couple things. He plays almost every single day, okay? Even hurt, he plays. He does everything. He's the only true, in my opinion, right now in baseball, true 5-tool player. I mean, he can steal 40. He can hit 40. He can drive it over 100. He did not have and for our league, he had a subpar year this year. But overall, I don't think there's anybody that has all the qualifications that he has going forward, and he deserved the MVP, especially in that rag team. It's hard to keep getting up to play for that rag team he played for. You know, Betts is great. Don't get me wrong. Unbelievable guy. Unbelievable player. But, you know, let him keep doing it over and over again, and let him be in a lineup that there's nobody there with him. Okay? That's, you know, what I look at. And so I think he deserved it, and I think he did a good job. And, again, he could have five MVPs because certainly he has been by far the best player in baseball, at every all-around player in baseball since he came in.
Yeah, and you know, the MVP, I think people sometimes put too much value on how the team does, but I think sometimes you got to take a step back and look at, you know, who is the most valuable player in the league. And I think, you know, Mike Trout's Angels, they came in last. They were atrocious this year. I mean, a ton of injuries. The starting pitching was brutal. I mean, I think they opened the season, you know, with three of their top three starters are on the DL. And I'm just really glad that he won, and the voters were able to see that. You know, regardless of how his team did, you can't penalize the guy for, you know, basically having, you know, not subpar teammates around him. I mean, and especially in that lineup, you know, Albert Pujols, you know, is still a pretty good hitter, can still hit 40 home runs, but it is nowhere near the guy that we saw in St. Louis who, you know, would hit 40 home runs and hit, you know, 335 every year. I mean, this lineup basically revolved around Mike Trout. I mean, Cole Calhoun is a pretty good player, you know, an all-star caliber player. But, I mean, the Angels kind of live and die with Mike Trout. And I thought, you know, it's represented in the wins above replacement, how good this guy is.
Let me ask you a question. How do you think Mike Trout would do hitting in the Cubs lineup, hitting in front of Mike Rizzo?
I mean, he might, you know, he might have an on-base percentage of, you know, 550.
He might hit 100. He might hit 100 home runs in front of Rizzo. You know, I mean, look. He's a great player. There's nothing you can take away from this kid. He has been phenomenal, and that's why he's got. I mean, he's already got one big contract, and he'll get if he stays healthy, which obviously based on statistics, he has no reason not to be healthy. He'll get the biggest contract ever when he comes up for his next contract.
Yeah, and I think it'll be well deserved. I mean, you talk about guys who come in and take the league by storm, and the question is, you know, in football too, and basically in any pro sport. You take a look at the second year, you know, the league has seen you for a year. They're willing to make adjustments. And Mike Trout for 5 years has been the best player in the game. I don't think it's really even close. So, you know, cap it off, you know, congratulations to Mike Trout, won his second MVP, but it could win, I think, 7 or 8 more over the course of his career.
I agree. And that was really impressive about Bryant this year. Cause you know, they talk about the sophomore slump and he just kept going. Didn't stop, and you got to give him his props as well. And we're going to step out here for a break, the Sporting Edge, and we'll come back to talk some more awards. And I'm going to talk a little Tony Romo when we come back, too. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And make sure when you miss an episode, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm, and you can get the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show every day. Basically, Liberty Talk for all of your entertainment. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back after the break.
I'm smarter than the devil.
Welcome back. Morning Ed, Xander, and Bubba, Xander. So, you want to go through the rest of the baseball big boys?
Yeah, so I want to talk Cy Young. And then one of these I agreed with, one of these I didn't.
I didn't like either one of them.
You didn't like either one of them? No. Well, I don't know how you could have picked against Max Scherzer. I mean, he led the league in wins. He led the league in innings, strikeouts, You know, walks plus hits per innings pitched, strikeouts per walks ratios. I mean, the guy definitely deserved it. I mean, I think Lester and Hendricks had great years, but I mean, you know, Hendricks would have been, you know, if he'd been selected, I think the lowest innings pitched of a Cy Young, I don't know the year, but it would have been a long time. Only pitched 190 innings, and he did a great year. ERA leader in the NL. I don't want to take anything away from him, but Max Scherzer, I think, dominated so many categories. I don't know how you could have picked against him, but I mean, I want to get your thoughts because I feel like you had to have Lester or Hendricks.
How about Johnny Cueto? I thought Johnny Cueto was just up there as well. I mean, listen, you know, I know Clayton Kershaw had a down year because he missed 7 weeks, but he had a pretty big year too. No, I mean, I don't have a real problem with Kershaw. I mean, with Scherzer. I mean, I just, some guys left, one guy left Cueto off his ballot because he didn't hit well. I mean, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, that's where these voting idiots really piss me off, because they leave guys off for the most ignorant reasons possible. I mean, a pitcher's not supposed to hit, right? I mean, am I wrong or right. Am I right? So
yeah, no, that is pretty ignorant.
I mean, you know, so no, I agree. I mean, Porcello actually, you know, in the old days, I mean, it was wins and he won it, but obviously the AL there was, I think, better. But, you know, again, they gave it to him. I mean, I can't argue totally with it, but he had, what, over a 3 ERA? I mean, other than wins, he had no other statistical category that helped him win it.
Yeah, and you know what? I was glad. Rick Porcello, I mean, you know, had shown spurts that he could be a top-level pitcher and had a really rough year last year and came out and pitched fantastic this year. I mean, 22 wins. But that's the thing for me. Wins don't really tell the story of how good a guy can pitch. I mean, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but, I mean, you look at the Boston Red Sox lineup was one of the most potent offenses in the league. I mean, you know, it had to be something else to, you know, the pitch in front of Mookie Betts, David Ortiz, Xander Bogaerts, Hanley Ramirez. You know, Verlander did lead in first place votes, but I mean, there's two guys who left him entirely off the ballot.
Isn't that amazing?
How is that possible for a guy who led the league in strikeouts and walks plus hits per inning? I mean, which is a big metric when you're looking at the Cy Young race. I didn't get it at all. I mean, I thought it could come down to maybe Verlander and Zach Britton. I thought you could have made a case for Zach Britton, I think. I mean, it's kind of hard to do.
I agree with you 100%. You could have made a case for Zach Britton. And I also think that, you know, that this is my problem with when you have people voting it in, because you get guys that leave him off. Maybe they don't like him. Maybe he's a bad guy. You know, I've heard he's a bad guy around some of the media. So they left him off. And that there's the unfairness of the whole award system, because, you know, can you make a case, you know, for manager of the year, Dave Roberts over our guy Madden? I mean, yeah, you could, but I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think that, I think the right guy got it, to be honest with you, but I'm just saying there's, when it's a popularity contest, you get too much things to deal with. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, and that's where, I don't know why, I mean, I don't have a problem with Porcello winning. I think Verlander should have won, but the fact that two people left him entirely off the ballot and couldn't even put him in a top five, I thought was ridiculous. And, you know, whether they like him or not, I don't like how that's a part, can be a part of the vote. But when you got human nature playing a part in stuff, I mean, that's what happens. And I agree with you. Joe Madden, I mean, the Cubs, they won the World Series, had an excellent year. But I think when you look at expectations and what the Cubs were supposed to do this year, I think that kind of takes away a little bit from what Madden did. I mean, they went into the season as the clear-cut favorite to win the World Series. But when you look at what Dave Roberts did with, you know, the best pitcher in the league on the shelf for, you know, more than 2 months, you know, going into the break down in the division to a Giants team who looked like they, you know, were the best team in the league, arguably, behind the Cubs. You know, they went in with the best record. I mean, I'm happy that Dave Roberts won. I think that was very well deserved. I mean, when you look at a manager who took a Dodgers team, who I really didn't think was that good.
Who did they have? They had nobody. And their whole pitching staff at one point was on the shelf. I mean, they had, arguably, Corey Seager, unbelievable. But who else did they have on that team? Think about it. I mean, you know, he did an unbelievable job managing under the most adverse circumstances and basically won easy. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. I mean, this Dodgers team, I know they didn't get it done in the playoffs again. Kershaw ended up getting roughed up when they got knocked out. But, I mean, I can say nothing but good things about Dave Roberts, where he took this team. I mean, the pitching staff, they were getting some guys I hadn't heard of in 10 years. I mean, Rich Hill had a career year this year. I mean, I remember that they pull up that metric every game in the playoffs. You know, the guy's been, you know, traded four times. He's been cut five times. You know, he's been sent down multiple times. So I think, you know, it really speaks to Dave Roberts. I mean, when I think of Dave Roberts, I think of, you know, game four of the 2004 ALCS when he stole second base and got driven in by Big Poppy. But this was great to see, and I think this was well-deserved. And, you know, Joe Maddon had an unbelievable year again. But, you know, when you look at expectations and when you look at, you know, what people are supposed to do, I mean, the Cubs were supposed to be good. They were supposed to be unbelievable. And I still give a lot of credit to Joe Maddon. But when you look at the Dodgers and what they did, you know, up against the odds, you know, coming back and beating the Giants in that division pretty handily by the end, it was a pretty cool sight to see. But, Bob, let's move on to the NFL. You know, we're getting that playoff picture starting to get painted a little bit now. And, you know, we had a big Week 10 last week. The Giants, I mean, the Giants defense is starting to come alive a little bit. I mean, they beat the Bengals 21-20 on Monday Night Football. And again, said this a month ago, the season, I think, is going to live and die with the man they call Odell Beckham Jr. And what he has done the past month has been, you know, second to none in this league. He's been unbelievable and has really sparked this team. And the defense, like I just mentioned, I mean, they're playing better than any Giants defense I have seen, I think, in the past decade.
Yeah, I think they're playing well, and you know, again, you know, I watch, and Beckham is great, and you know, Manning's okay. He's a very serviceable quarterback. They've got some good tools, and hopefully they will, you know, continue. I mean, you know, obviously I have Beckham on my team, so I hope he does continue. But yeah, they've got a nice receiving core, Shepard, and if Cruz comes back again, you know, with his foot, but Beckham and Cruz and Shepard are awfully good. They are lacking a running game, but again, the difference in football, any other sport, is one. Basically, it's one game at a time, and to win it all, you have to win three or four games, and that's an interesting dynamic because in football, you know, it's a sport that everybody has to do their job, versus baseball. You know, what I mean, it's a bigger team event, as we come close up here to the break in about a minute, but I just want to take my hat off to Tony Romo before we get more into this because I think that he was. I mean, we all knew he wasn't going to get back his job, right? I mean, it was pretty evident a few weeks ago that he wasn't getting a job back, right?
Right, right.
And but he was very classy about the way he handled it. And when they made him a backup, and he didn't squawk. He's been very supportive. And next year he'll probably be playing for either the Bears or the Denver Broncos. How about that? How about Tony Romo in Denver next year? Because.
I would love to see it. I mean, you know, I think the guy is still a very good NFL quarterback. This is an unfortunate situation for him. I mean, I can't say it's unfortunate for the Cowboys because they're 8-1 and, you know, you can make an argument that they're the best team in the NFL, but you know, I would love to see Tony Romo play again. I think he's a very good player, a very great teammate. And you saw that in the speech that he gave the other day.
No, listen, I got to respect when a man, you know, look at life is a lot of turns happen in your life and a lot of things can go bad. But when you're a man and you step up and you say, you know, he deserves to play and you don't create any issues on your team because, you know, especially in football, there's 52 other guys that got to live with your decision as well. And if you create trouble, then you create bad stuff for the team. And I got to give him all the kudos in the world for stepping up and being a man about it. I mean, I just think that that's, you know, as you know from playing, that it's always the team guys that are better. I mean, you know, there's some guy you can be a little bit selfish, but when it comes to the team and playing, you got to be the team guy. And I think that's what you saw with Michael Jordan was a consummate team guy. Yeah, he was had his moments, but he was always a team guy first and get it done. And I think that's what separates the great ones and not just the greatest players, but the greatest people that play the sport. Because again, it comes down to the team because that's what you're on. You're on a team. And that's always cool. So I respect Tony, and I'm glad that he did his thing, and I'm sure he will end up with a very good team next year, and it won't be the Cowboys unless Brad Prescott gets hurt. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you know LibertyTalk.fm. Get The Sporting Edge as well as The Bubba Show. We will be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Amanda and Bubba and Jander. So you were breaking down a couple of the playoffs, and before I interrupted you, and of course some things are starting to take shape. What are you seeing?
Well, I mean, one thing, this isn't really playoff related, but I mean, the Packers flat out stink. I mean, to give up almost 50 points to the Tennessee Titans team that, you know, Marcus Mariota, I give him credit, is having a great year, but I mean, to go down 21-0 in the first quarter, you know, give up, you know, 300 yards and four TDs to him, and, you know, give up 150 yards on the ground. I mean, this Packers team is embarrassing to me. And the fact that they're still alive, I mean, the Vikings, meanwhile, have dropped four in a row as well. So, I mean, this division is an absolute shit show right now.
Well, what about who? What sports analyst called that the Packers sucked?
Was it you?
It was me. About 4 weeks ago, I told you, they're just not the Packers anymore. It's just not. You can't count them for anything because I really think that Aaron Rodgers just got old. Listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't want him on my team. I just think he got old. He's not the same guy. Look at Drew Brees. He's 100. He's going to beat the crap out of him. He's a small guy, yet he still functions. Obviously, Tom Brady's in a world all by himself. But at the end of the day, I think the Packers are through. I think that it's going to be a long year for them. And I think that Detroit might sneak in here. It's hard to believe, but Minnesota is just flat out stinks, and they can't stop anybody, which is incredible on its own. And of course, they did just get rid of Blair Walsh. I mean, you know, he's been a bad, bad sign for them, and you know, maybe that'll help because the kicking game has cost them a couple of games, so that might change. And how about the New Orleans Saints and their kicking game the last 2 weeks?
It's been brutal. I mean, this was an enormous game for the Saints. I mean, I know they just lost on Thursday night, but, you know, we're breaking down last week. A huge comeback. Drew Brees leads him down the field, and the extra point gets blocked and taken back to the house. And you know, extra point. You still don't get the ball back. You still have to kick it off. I mean, this was heart-wrenching for the Saints. I mean, in a week where, you know, the Falcons got dismantled by the Eagles, scored a season-low 15 points, this was a huge turning point for the Saints. And you know, you get the extra point blocked and it gets returned to the house. I don't know if I've ever really seen that before. I mean, that was a pretty wild ending. And the guy was about, you know, 1 centimeter away from stepping out of bounds with the white shoes and the white line. I mean, this is a brutal loss for the Saints. And then you talk about the kicking game. I mean, you saw it, you know, two nights ago on Thursday Night Football. I mean, they lost by 3 points, and I got to blame it on the kicking game. It was absolutely atrocious. I mean, in the Saints, I thought at the beginning of the year we're going to get clobbered this year with that defense, but meanwhile, you know, they could be sitting at, you know, 6-4 right now.
I think they're playing well. I think their defense has been pretty well. They've been surprising me. I think the biggest surprise this year would be the Carolina Panthers. What do you think?
I mean, they're bad. I know they won on Thursday night, but I mean, Cam Newton is just not making as many plays as he did last year. I mean, there's not a lot of changes on that team, and they got Kelvin Benjamin back. I mean, it's not like there's been a drastic shift in what they're doing. And I know that the defense is playing nowhere near as well as they did last year. And, you know, they lost Luke Kuechly on Thursday night to a concussion, which is kind of scary because the guy's the best linebacker in football, I think, by a mile. But he's dealt with a lot of concussions in his career. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where a guy can come out and say, I'm done, you know, and maybe he might not even get cleared again. So, I mean, we got to look at that fact.
But I would think Carolina. I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
I'm just saying this Panthers team, I mean, I got to put it basically on Cam Newton. He's not making plays. I mean, the reason they were so good last year was he complemented that defense so well. I mean, he's such a big playmaker in the running game and the passing game. And he did it with a motley crew. I mean, Jonathan Stewart. And I can even name receivers on that team last year. You know, Ted Ginn and Devin Funchess. I mean, Greg Olsen is great, one of the best tight ends in the game. But I mean, the guy's not making plays.
I think he became a pussy. That's what I think. I think, you know, I listen. He had no fear. Now all of a sudden he's got fear and he's calling the commissioner and he's worried about getting hit. And I don't blame him. I mean, you know, listen, I think Will Kuechly's going to retire. I think that's why he was on the field crying when he got hit yesterday. I mean, he was like almost in tears because I think he's going to retire. And I think that Cam Newton's become a little bit of a sissy when it comes to playing now. He's not the same Cam Newton that can take over a game. And the defense kind of knows it, too. And when you start whining to the commissioner, I think that shows even a bigger problem. And I think he's no longer what we thought he was. I mean, he's made his money. He's in a spot and he's not going anywhere. But I don't think he's going to put himself like he did, go for it. And this would be a guy that what we talked about in the opening, Ray Lewis could talk about him because this guy's got no passion left as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, I really didn't like how he came out and basically called out the league for not calling enough, you know, personal fouls on him. I thought that was kind of a weak move. And I think it's just even weaker, you know, when you look at after a loss saying that, what does it say to your team, you know, when you're a leader? I mean, you know, but probably could be the most important guy to any team, you know, individually in the league. And I thought that was a weak move by him. One last game I needed to go over, Bub. I mean, every week Dak Prescott impresses me even more. A huge win on the road against the Steelers. I mean, this game was super exciting, and you know, there's three touchdowns in the last minute and a half. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. I mean, this could be the best duo in the league right now, and they haven't even played a full season yet.
They're both rookies, and you know what? Ezekiel, I thought he'd be good, but I never thought he'd be this good. He is just an animal. He's a monster. And Prescott, excuse me, has done all the right things from a personal standpoint, from a talking standpoint, and certainly on the field. I mean, figure it out. He's won more games as a backup quarterback because he'd still be considered a backup coming into the year than all of Dallas backup quarterbacks in the last 10 years. So,
I mean, right. I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, and this game was super exciting. But, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers giving up a 30-yard run at the end of the game like that to Ezekiel Elliott right at the middle. I mean, it just kind of makes you shake your head. But, I mean, this offensive line, we see it every week. And Ezekiel Elliott, you know, is a perfect complement. He runs hard. He's fast. I mean, and this team is clicking. Power ranking CBS Sports has him at number one in the league right now. And after, you know, I saw the Patriots drop a game to Seattle last week that, you know, they didn't look particularly good in, I'm not going to say that I disagree. I mean, this Cowboys team, you could definitely make an argument that they're the best team in football right now.
They're deservedly so. And I think before we make our picks, your Arizona Cardinals looking bad, buddy. They're going down the toilet fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the game between the Cardinals and the Vikings this week is a glorified toilet bowl. I mean, the team that loses this game, I think, their season is being flushed away. As cliche as that sounds, I mean, the Vikings went from being talked about as one of the best teams in the league to sitting here being one game from being 500 after they started off 5-0. And you mean the defense? I mean, Sam Bradford was okay last week, threw for 300 yards and two touchdowns. But I mean, the defense has fallen off the map. But this Cardinals team also, I mean, they've been so underwhelming this year after a team that I thought, I came out and said they're going to win the Super Bowl. But I thought it was clear cut that, you know, that they would come out and win at least 10 games this year. And I thought that was being generously, you know, on the under. I mean, I thought this team was going to come out firing. But I'm going to stick with them.
They could win. I mean, certainly I'm not saying they just don't look very good. They didn't look good at San Francisco.
They don't look good. But I mean, this game is both of these teams have looked terrible. You know, we got a 2.5-point spread here, Vikings at home. So it's basically saying that both these teams are even right now. And I'm going to go with the Cardinals in this one. I can't say that I'm super confident in that pick because, I mean, Carson Palmer has not looked like the same guy. I mean, I know he's old, but he was old last year. And, you know, he was, you know, in the MVP race. But I'm going to take him this week. I think they're going to come out hot. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald still doing amazing things at, you know, age 55. He's been in the league for it seems like 20 years, but you know, every week he still comes out and makes plays. I think the Cardinals take this one relatively easy this week.
Well, I agree. I do have the Cardinals as well. But I think the biggest game of the week is the Monday nighter, Houston and Oakland playing in Mexico. And somehow Houston is 6-3 with that dog Brock Osweiler. I don't know how they do it. And Lamar Miller is turning out to be another sissy that can't play. You know, that's why he didn't get time in the Dolphins. That's why he never got carries, because he just can't stay healthy. And he's, I don't know. What do you think of the game?
This is a tough one. I mean, I personally like the Raiders in this one. I know 6 points is pretty big, but anything under seven, you know, I think the Raiders are clearly a much better team than the Texans. And like you said, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, with how anemic their offense has been, the Texans, that, you know, they're sitting at 6-3 right now. But I mean, on the other side of the coin, the Raiders, I think, to me, have been the most impressive team in the NFL. I mean, you put the Cowboys up there, but I didn't expect the Raiders to be this good this year. You know, their defense has been spectacular. I mean, the Raiders and the Giants, it's like the apocalypse. Both defenses are performing better than they have in a very long time. Derek Carr, I think you got to put him, you know, him and Russell Wilson right now, I think, are my top two in the MVP race. And, you know, Latavius Murray came back from injury and plotted in for 3 touchdowns the other week. I don't think he's, you know, necessarily the best lead back, but I mean, I think this offense has a lot of weapons.
I don't like him. I don't like the game. I like the other side if I'm going to play anything. But as we go to break here, my bonus pick for the week is the Washington Redskins are to drill the Green Bay Packers. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out of a break. LibertyTalk.fm gets you the podcast, the download, as well as the Bubba Show, the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, what's going on in the college world, brother?
Well, you know, the rankings, I mean, it's hard to keep up with these rankings. They shape shift every week. But one piece of news, I wanted to bring this up last week, actually, but, you know, I forgot. Yeah, but, you know, Brian Kelly came out last week and basically scolded Nick Saban for using pros or ex-pros on his scout team. And this made me shake my head. I mean, first of all, it's not illegal. Because Alabama's doing it. You know, if it was illegal, the NCAA would come in and say, stop doing that. I mean, you know, they use Trent Richardson as a scout back, you know, mirroring Leonard Fournette before they played LSU. And Brian Kelly comes out with his, you know, sub 500 Notre Dame team that is, you know, in jeopardy of not even making a bowl, and says basically, you know, that's bull crap that they're using pro players on their scout team. And Nick Saban came right back and said, you know what, you know, you can do it too. You know, it's not against the rules. And I love that. I mean, Nick Saban is probably the best college football coach that has ever, you know, coached a game. I mean, you could say Bear Bryant too, I think. But Nick Saban is in the conversation. And for Brian Kelly to come out with his crappy Notre Dame underachieving bunch of sissies, and, you know, basically Notre Dame is a non-story this year. You know, they haven't been a story since week two when they lost to Michigan State, who was proven to be one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. For him to come out and say that, I thought was ludicrous. It was, you know, such a sissy move that he's going to cry about Nick Saban using pro guys on his scout team. You know, why don't you – excuse my language. I want to say the F word, but, I mean, you're coaching Notre Dame and you're under 500. I mean, that is an absolute embarrassment. And Brian Kelly is an embarrassment. And this was just another stepping stone for him, you know, calling out Nick Saban for using, you know, pro guys on his scout team. You know, if you want to cry about it, go do it yourself. And don't cry about it when you're 4-6 and one of the, you know, the most disappointing teams in college football this year.
Well, why? Because they were in the top 10 when the season started, and now they wouldn't be in the top 100? Of course they suck. And look, you know, there's always guys looking for excuses. You know what? Nick Saban's doing exactly what he should do. Just, he's no different than John Calipari in the NCAA. One and done. You want to come and play for me? You got a chance to go to the pros. Want to play for Nick Saban? You get to play against pros. You get an edge up on everybody, and that's why they're the best team. And they are by far, in my opinion, the best team. Now they could lose a game to somebody in the playoff, but they are by far. Nobody could beat them 2 in a row, in my opinion. Now, there's not one team in the country that could beat them twice in a row.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, they're, I think they're clearly the best team. But I mean, basically to sum up, in the words of my roommate John Vell. To Brian Kelly, cry about it. I mean, I'm sick and tired. I don't even want to hear his name anymore. Until Notre Dame is at least in the top 25. I mean, for that program not to be top notch every year is absolutely embarrassing. But I'm done. I'm tired talking about it. Let's talk about last week in college football. We had another big shakeup, and you know, even going into this week, we have a big shakeup already. Houston absolutely demolished Louisville, and Louisville was crying about that they weren't ranked in the top four after Clemson dropped the game to Pittsburgh, and they come out and get absolutely throttled by Houston. And I mean, I remember Houston, we were talking about at the beginning of the year, was kind of like a Washington dark horse could possibly sneak in. And you know what? They lost two games, but they've come back, you know, sitting with two losses right now, played some great football against Louisville, sacked Lamar Jackson 11 times on Thursday. I mean, that was an embarrassing effort by Louisville in their offensive line. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I thought was going to be, it was a clear cut Heisman, and now has absolutely opened the door for a guy like Jalen Hurts, a guy like JT Barrett. And, you know, Louisville, they're crying about how they're not in the top four, and they go out and get absolutely whooped. I mean, the rank of the college football, since the playoff rankings came out, every week I think there's been a shift. I mean, I saw the first week with Texas A&M. You know, meanwhile, they've lost 15 games in a row, you know, and Louisville thought they should have been in, and now they're out. Washington, I was praising them last week, and they get demolished by USC, which I have to say, I didn't call USC straight up, but I said they would give Washington a hell of a game. I love them plus the 8.5. And they ended up winning straight up in a game that was not really close after the first quarter.
You had the monster.
I didn't call this straight up either, but I said that the Iowa Hawkeyes would give Michigan one hell of a game. They stuck around until the final minute, kicked a game-winning field goal,
and upset, you know, a Michigan team that I thought was, you know, easily the second best team in the nation. You know, I don't think this is definitely not, you know, the end for Michigan. I think they're still going to be in the college football playoff, but I mean, Iowa, a hell of a game after, you know, C.J. Beathard threw a pick with 2 minutes left. I mean, I thought it could have been over, but those three timeouts, they loomed large. Michigan couldn't get a first down. And, you know, Iowa made a couple of big plays down the stretch. So, I mean, those are two pretty big upsets this week and shook up the rankings a little bit.
You called them both. I got to give you your props, man. You were right on top of it. That was good stuff. Because they did get, and they were both, you know, fairly, I mean, you could tell Michigan just wasn't playing well, and that's the way it goes. But Michigan and Clemson still stay in the top four, which is pretty interesting. And on another side of the coin, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I thought Louisville should have definitely been ranked fourth ahead of Clemson. I mean, you look at, before this week, obviously, their one loss was to Clemson in a game-ending play. And Clemson loses to Pittsburgh. I mean, who is Pittsburgh? I mean, that game was awful. I mean, and we've kind of been saying it all year. I mean, Clemson's kind of been asking for it. They've played in a bunch of close games with a bunch of teams that they really shouldn't be playing close games with. And this week, it kind of snuck up on them. You know, Deshaun Watson threw for 600 yards, but threw four interceptions as well. And Pittsburgh outscored them 9-0 in the fourth quarter and won 43-42. But, you know, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. If they can win this week, we kind of put all that talk to bed, especially with Washington losing. I mean, we look at the rankings. Wisconsin's the next team up. We got Wisconsin, Penn State, Oklahoma. But, I mean, if Clemson wins out, I think there's not even a discussion who the top four will be.
Actually, there could be almost even a two-loss team in there. Sure, either Ohio State or Michigan could go in as a possible two-loss team. I got the key question of the week, though, is Ed Orgeron, who has been the interim coach for about four teams, always kills it, and he had one bad year season at Mississippi. Does he get to keep the job at LSU? Because they've been certainly playing awfully good.
You know what? I would like him to get the job. I don't think he's going to, though. I don't know why. I got a funny feeling that Alabama game I thought was the deciding factor. I know they had a big win last week, but I thought the Alabama game was, you know, the games leading up to that was, you know, kind of a little tryout, and the Alabama game was kind of a final test. And again, the offense kind of let him down. I mean, it's kind of, you know, double-edged sword. It's kind of hard to, you know, play against the Alabama defense. I mean, they are the best in the country, but I thought that was the final straw for him. And it's kind of tough. You know, I don't think they're not going to have a shot at the playoff this year. I mean, they already have three losses. So, I mean, I guess we'll see this week. I mean, they're a two touchdown favorite at home against Florida, Florida team that's 7-2 and ranked in the top 25. I think that's a pretty big lay, even at home. The 14, it's actually 14.5 points, but we'll see. My gut says that he will not get the job.
I don't think he will either, or they would have named already. I do like Florida in that game, by the way. I think that they're just – Florida's got a good defense. They both suck at offense. I think Florida covers on that game. What do you think?
I do. I actually think that they win straight up. Thinking that, I'll take the
– Big call, baby. Big call. All right, we got time for one or two more quick ones. Any other games you like off the top of your calendar, schedule?
Well, you know, there's one big game of the team that, you know, Washington State at Colorado, number 22 and number 10. I never thought that these teams would be in this kind of important game in the Pac-12 this late in the season. But I actually like the Buffaloes in this game. They're ranked number 10. They've been playing some fantastic football all year long. And, 6.5 points, I will take it. I think they're going to win this game by 3 touchdowns.
I like them, too. That'll do it for the Sporting Edge. With Xander and Bubba, everybody have a great weekend. And make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. This has been the Sporting Edge. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. A lot of football. Have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll probably do a special edition Thanksgiving morning. So we'll see you next week. Everybody have a great one. Thank you so much for being here at the Sporting Edge. Goodbye, everybody.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.